My guest at this time is Georgia Republican Congressman Paul Brown. He represents the Peach State's 10th Congressional District, but he is not running for re-election to that seat this year. Instead, he is running for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate in the Peach State, given the fact that two-term Republican Saxby Chambliss is retiring. As you may know, it's a pretty crowded field. We spoke with Congressman Brown and some of the other candidates earlier on in the season. May 20th is the primary in the state, and most people assume that there will not be somebody who gets the 50%, so being in the top two is critical, because if nobody gets a majority, the top two will advance to a runoff. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Greg. It's great being with you and your listeners, and you're absolutely correct. We do have a crowded field. There's seven candidates in the race, and I was doing a radio interview recently. The guy I was talking to asked, Dr. Brown, you and everybody else are saying the same thing. What separates you from the others? And what separates me from them is that I have the record of fighting this out-of-control government, out-of-control spending, that they don't have. None of the other candidates have. I've got two House colleagues that are running. Both of them have been big spenders, big earmarkers, big government politicians. Then we have former Secretary of State, a female. She kind of casts all three of us in the same vein, which is totally not true. In fact, I've got the record of standing firm to try to stop this out-of-control spending and deal with this unsustainable debt, where the other two do not. And then we have a self-funder who has spent millions of his own money trying to buy this campaign, and his whole race is, in fact, he's even said that we need to not only get rid of the three of us, but he said we've got to fire all 535 members of Congress and put him in place, and he'll solve all the problems of America, which, of course, his claim and then the female's claim are both preposterous, because both of them are blaming the three of us on the gridlock and not getting anything done in Washington. Well, it just shows that they don't understand, or if they do understand, they're trying to fool people about how I've been fighting to send powers back to the states of the people, as the 10th Amendment says it should be. I stand firm on the Constitution. All the problems, Greg, that we see today, whether it's Benghazi, the IRS targeting conservative and pro-life groups, whether it's NSA getting your phone records and mine and reading our emails, which is totally unconstitutional, and actually it's against the law. They don't have in the law any legal authority to do that. The unconstitutional executive orders that presidents of both parties have been doing, the out-of-control spending, this debt that's unsustainable, all of those are symptoms. The disease is an out-of-control government that's left the powers that it has in the enumerated powers as the Constitution expresses them. And I've stood firm on the Constitution. So what separates me from all the rest of them is that I have a record. I'm fighting to send those powers back to the states of the people and leave money in your pocket and everybody else's.
Let's talk about some of the logistics in this race now. When we last talked to you, you were right there at the top tier in this race. Right now, you're still very competitive, but several of the latest polls suggest that it's David Perdue, Karen Handel, and Jack Kingston in the top three, and then you and Congressman Gingrey are a couple points behind them. Let's start with the attempts by Karen Handel especially, but I think David Perdue also, to tie all three of you to Washington, and therefore you're all dismissed as being part of the problem. You just explained why you don't think that's an accurate label and why you've been very different than the other two members of the House that are in this primary. But do you think that's working to some extent, that accusation?
Well, I hope people will see through that. I've made the ultimate outsider vote when we voted for Speaker of the House for this Congress. We had 20 of the most conservative members of the U.S. House that had signed a pledge to each other that we would not vote for John Boehner to be Speaker. Now, John Boehner is a nice guy. He's got a great suntan, and I understand he plays a good game of golf. But I saw him making deals with Barack Obama that I couldn't support, the stimulus package and bailouts and increasing the debt on us as well as our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. I couldn't support all those things, and I knew we needed a different leader, somebody who would stand up to Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and Harry Reid. I voted for Alan West to be the Speaker, but there were only 12 of us that upheld that pledge to each other. The other eight caved in because of the pressure of the leadership. And, in fact, when Madison Project endorsed my campaign, they said in their endorsement that even the most conservative fighters, after a year or two, tend to succumb to the establishment meat grinder. Paul Brown is inviolable. And the reason that I have stayed away from the establishment meat grinder is I have taken a firm stand when I was sworn in the Marine Corps to support and defend the Constitution 5 times now in the U.S. military. I'm in the military today. By the way, I was just promoted to commander in the Navy Reserve last Tuesday, and I was deployed to Afghanistan in 2012. So I know the military and I know the problems, and this is where we should be spending money. I have sworn to uphold that Constitution against enemies both foreign and domestic. Out-of-control government and out-of-control spending are both enemies of the Constitution. And in fact, Admiral Mike Mullen, when he was chairman of the Joint Chiefs, said that the greatest security threat we face as a nation is this debt that we have, both parties have created, and it's just got to stop. So I'm the ultimate outsider that has the record to of standing firm against my own leadership and of fighting this out-of-control spending that both parties have been doing. And the thing is, the other two, the female that you mentioned and the rich guy who's trying to buy this campaign, they talk about that they will get the job done or that we need a different type of person. They have no clue what they'll do. When those 8 of the most conservative fighters caved under establishment pressure, it's just an indication that most are going to. And frankly, they don't have a record. No one knows. They don't even know what they will do. And so voting for them is going to be voting for something that's totally unknown, but people can know where I'm going as a U.S. Senator because they can see where I've been as a congressman.
We're talking with Georgia Congressman Paul Brown. He is running for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate in Georgia. And, sir, in looking at some of the articles characterizing this race, it would appear that most voters in the Republican side who identify with the Tea Party movement really have no complaints with your positions. They like you very much. Their biggest concern is whether you can win against Michelle Nunn and in a runoff. At the same time, there's an NBC News poll out there showing that head-to-head, other than one of the other candidates, you're the only one who's actually ahead of Michelle Nunn head-to-head. So
that's right.
How do you convey that to voters that, you know, if you do vote for me, I probably can do this or at least give it a real good shot?
Well, you just helped somewhat with what you just stated, but that's absolutely factual. In fact, the most unelectable candidate running in this whole race on either side is Michelle Nunn, because she is so radically liberal. When Barack Obama said bomb Syria, she said go for it, which just indicates she's going to be a puppet for Barack Obama. Republicans and Democrats alike did not like that position. There was a fundraiser for her up in New York City in Manhattan, and the special guest was Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama told the crowd there that she's eager to see Michelle Nunn in the U.S. Senate so that they could continue their health care agenda. Well, Obama's been very clear they want to go to socialized medicine, a single-payer system. And then she went on to say so that they could get their gun control agenda through the U.S. Senate. Well, Obama's been clear about that, too. They don't believe that anybody, except for the police and military, should own a gun. Georgia Democrats are very pro-Second Amendment, and I've got the record there also. I'm the chairman of the Second Amendment Task Force in the U.S. House, fighting for Second Amendment rights. Gun Owners of America and the National Association for Gun Rights have endorsed my campaign. We must not ever, ever lose our individual right to own a gun. In fact, the Second Amendment and the First Amendment are the guardians of our liberty, and the Second Amendment actually guards the First Amendment. So I've got the record. Nobody else in this race does.
There's a week left in this campaign. If these most recent polls of the primary, though, are accurate, you've got some work to do to get into the top two. So how do you specifically tailor your message over the past week to try and get into the top two? And do you feel like you've got the resources necessary to get that message out?
Well, we could always use more resources, and our listeners could go on my website, paulbrown.com, and it's B-R-O-U-N. It's B-R-O-U-N, paulbrown.com, and they could contribute. We, Dr. Ron Paul has endorsed my campaign. We want to do a robocall to get our vote. I've got the most dedicated voters and supporters in this state, and we've just got to mobilize them, and that's what we're doing. We've got some more TV ads. We need to pay for more if we can, so people can go on paulbrown.com. But back to what I was just saying about electability. The establishment are talking about electability because they want their guy or gal who we've got five major candidates. Four of them are establishment candidates. I'm the only non-establishment candidate running in this race. And the establishment candidates like big government. I like limited government. That's the reason I've been described as a Tea Party before there was a Tea Party. I'm the most electable candidate in this race for the simple reason that the only way we'd give a Democrat any chance whatsoever to win is if we were to nominate an establishment big government candidate. And the four of them would fit that bill. Republican conservative voters staying home in November would be the only thing that may give her a chance to win this race. And nominating me is why I will win this race. And I just need people to pray for me, people in Georgia to vote for me, and people all over the country to contribute to my campaign. We just need some help so we can get our message out, mobilize our liberty-loving voters. Helping Paul Brown campaign is helping to restore fiscal sanity in Washington, to fight for liberty and freedom, to stop this out-of-control government that both parties have created.
Congressman, we'll have to leave it there. We will certainly be watching very carefully next week, and we look forward to, if the results turn out in your favor, to talking with you during the runoff and beyond.
Very good. Thanks, Greg.
Georgia Republican Congressman Paul Brown represents his state's 10th congressional district. I'm Greg. Georgia Republican Congressman Paul Brown represents his state's 10th congressional district. He is a candidate for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate in Georgia. Again, the primary is May 20th. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WND.com.